A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello everyone and welcome to your lovely Thursday Gaming Team News Day. It is myself, Jules Gill, joined by the only man who I'll let press spacebar and then jump 5 seconds later. It is Scott Taylorford.
That's a bad thing.
The lag that it took me to tell that joke and you to get it actually is pertinent in what we're talking about today, because Google Stadia has launched to mild to terrible reactions.
Yeah.
And we're going to be detailing for you lovely people today why this console is a massive flop.
Scott. It's not doing very well. So the whole point with Stadia was to release in two forms. Basically, the Founders Edition is what's out now, and the base version is coming at some point in 2020.
So that's a lot of air quotes you just said.
Yeah, well, they haven't got a specific date for the base version for 2020, but you know, whatever.
Almost like we're now experiencing an early access console.
Kinda.
Which,
yeah.
I told you, games as service and the AAA sort of way that they're doing Steam and stuff like that. Now we're moving into physical hardware.
Yeah.
This is.
It's like, hey, would you like to pay more for a worse service? Because we didn't think you got enough of the worst games being played early, and now we're going to roll it out to hardware.
Surprisingly, no.
And features as well. So anyway, yeah, basically with Stadia, there is a whole bunch of stuff that we kind of saw coming on the horizon that has just only been proven true at launch. Mm-hmm. And it's worth just kind of breaking down precisely where they're going wrong. And we can talk about the general sort of potential of streaming as a thing as well.
Let's talk about the concept of Google Stadia, what it tries to achieve, and then we can go through and systematically prove where it's gone wrong. Now, we're not doing this as an effort to bash Google Stadia, because as we all know, YouTube is very much a part of Google and we would like to stay active. So we're not actually, if you're watching this YouTube representative who's in Google's back pocket and collecting all of our data, making sure that we all have to tell everyone if our stuff is child friendly or not.
I know where we live, Jules.
Just, you're a bad company sometimes.
To be fair,
let's talk about the Google Stadia.
If they're doing a blanket ban on people chastising Stadia, then half of YouTube's going to be offline by the end of the day.
Very true, very true. But let's try and talk about what it's meant to be. It's meant to be a console that you can have that streams everything in 4K resolution,
4K.
Up to 60 frames per second, and it will have no input lag whatsoever. Now, you see any problems with that?
Well, the thing is, it's not even a console. The whole point is that it's server streamed. All you need, Jules Gill, is a Chromecast Ultra, and as soon as you plug, I mean, no one has them, but it's fine.
That is effectively the console in this
thing,
because you need the physical hardware that you need.
Yeah, but like that whole thing is that, and it's a nice idea that you could play games as fast, they would load as fast as a YouTube video, that you click on it and it just works. Like, that's kind of their whole thing, Todd Howard style, is that it just works, and that, you know, you can watch the trailer for a game, I want to play that, click the button, loads right in.
So now we're hitting our first problem, because sometimes YouTube doesn't even just work.
No.
So how can you expect to run a 4K?
Well, you can't. 4K?
Well, oh, there we go.
There you go, you see?
So let's explain why.
Well, that's one of the things that obviously people have found out right on launch, and one of the biggest comparisons, one of the like most glaringly obvious problems is something like Red Dead Redemption 2, because the launch lineup is all made up of old school stuff, or stuff from earlier this year, last year, things like Tomb Raider from 2013.
Yeah, well, it's 12 games that they announced as the launch window thing, and
they then added
a few more to make up for the fact that people just was like, hang on a minute, out of your 12 launch games, 3 of them are Tomb Raider.
3 of them are Tomb Raider, only one of them is an original, and most of us already own things like Red Dead 2, Mortal Kombat 11 or whatever. But yeah, the overall thing to sort of like hammer down is that Jason Schreier on launch said that according to some of his insiders, it's already a monumental flop. And then if you look at, you said, at the data connection, the fact that it's relying on a constant, a decent sort of streaming connection, looking at the examples that are online, something like Red Dead 2 just runs like hell. It looks like a Switch version of the game, which isn't a bag on the Switch, but it's clearly not 4K 60 FPS.
I'm sure that we're going to put up a few images now of what it actually looks like, but like the comparison between the Xbox One X and the Google Stadia stuff, you can see how bad the draw distance is. Bad, it's very fuzzy, and like you were saying before we started recording, if this was on the Switch, then it would almost be passable because of the fact that it's a completely different set of like limited hardware, and also it's a smaller screen, so you wouldn't actually maybe necessarily see the lack of detail. I'm sure people would complain about it, but it wouldn't be as bad as seeing it on a 50-inch TV screen just going, wait, what is
yeah.
that?
Is that weird is blancmange
Arthur,
as a face?
Has Arthur Morgan got a beard, or is he just that unfocused?
I think that, like, that's the whole thing, though. Mm. Their whole play for the living room, and obviously they're going for more of the casual market, and there's infinitely more people who are potentially casual gamers as opposed to people like us who are going to sit and, like, scrutinise frame rates and resolutions and stuff. And I think that's what they're going for. But, like, you know, that primarily means that they're going to be playing these things on massive TVs,
yes.
or at least an HD display. Mm. And like you said, if you're forever reliant on this server connection, it's just not coming through at 60 FPS and 4K, which goes against what they're advertising. Now, obviously, something will be in the small print saying, like, well, connection speeds will vary, but
yes.
it's sold off the back of this stuff,
yes.
and it's not fulfilling it.
I mean, you don't necessarily go out there and tell everyone the baseline of your product. You always tell them what it can achieve.
Yes.
But the problem is that 99% of the people will not be able to achieve this.
No.
And like, as we've said before many times, this was developed in Silicon Valley in an area where the internet speeds are probably absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah.
And you've got the industrial estate, as you put it, of like Twitter, YouTube, Google, all hanging out together,
yeah.
probably just making toys for each other that
Kinda.
Work on their systems because of the fact that they have the best internet
yeah.
connections around.
And it's not, like, it's cool, kind of.
Like,
don't
get me wrong, I can imagine going over and just being like, looking out the window, just being like, Twitter. look what I've made. Oh, look, it just works.
Yeah,
here.
Do you want to give them more
combat? But it doesn't work outside of the bubble.
No, and I think everyone sort of assumed that going in, that it was made for this sort of tech bubble elite from San Francisco, and it wasn't going to transfer over to the average like household in the West or around the world or whatever. And Google were always like, well, we have all these private servers where Google will make it work. And, you know, come launch day, it just isn't really working. So that's one massive thing, is that it just isn't going to fulfill the advertised streaming
yes.
quality. That's a massive blow to it. There's also the fact that, just to throw in, Giant Bomb did a poll on their YouTube post,
yes.
Just saying, like, did anybody actually buy this? And when I checked it was about 5,000 people had responded. 97% of people hadn't. So even as a sample size, that's a hell of an indication as to how many people haven't got on board with it.
I'm trying to figure out kind of why, because we already knew that
we haven't got it.
Well, we haven't got it, but I guess there's no drive to it at the moment. Because
who's it for?
Apart from that one game. The new game that they've
the new one from Tequila Works,
yeah.
which is it's called Guilt, and it's from Tequila Works. It's very much like Little Nightmares,
but
it's not going to shift systems.
But it's indie-rific.
Yeah.
There's no AAA sort of like feel to it whatsoever. And
nope.
it's really strange because you raise an incredible point, which is what was the Google Stadia for? Like, who is it for?
I don't know.
If it's for the casual video game crowd to do that, then fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you still requires a connection to have it, so you can't call it as casual because you need to have a sort of like decent internet speed to get the most out
of it. Yeah, the weird thing is, because I was remote play rolled out on PS4 in terms of you can now play remote play from your PS4 onto your phone tablet laptop, whatever. So I tried that last night, and even and that's pretty good in terms of it, you know, you can play something. It's quite gimmicky, but it works nigh on that is a game on my laptop.
Yeah.
There are still minuscule amounts of delay that get in the way, and you can tell.
Yeah, and that affects the gameplay so much. If you were playing a game like Call of Duty or a Twitch reaction
shooter,
or even like a rhythm action game, then you would be completely unable to do it. Now, I will tell you a nice little story. It's not super tangential. It is related to this.
Okay.
Do you remember the video game Parappa the Rapper on PS1?
Yeah.
What a fantastic looking game.
Punch, it's all in the mind.
Indeed it is. Unfortunately, though, it wasn't all in the actual button design because of the fact there is actual input lag on a PS1 game for that. And everyone talks about how great that game is.
It is.
Go back and play it. The input lag...
Are you having a go at Parappa the Rapper?
I literally sat down with two people who have like studied music for absolutely ages.
Right.
They were like, this game is fundamentally broken. Like, it is, you have to be out of sync in order to be good at the game. But I'm just saying, why should we have to learn to play games behind with lag? There's an infamous thing going around with the guy pressing the jump button, and I can't remember what game he's playing, and it's for the Google Stadia, and the character just goes...
I mean, the thing that's really weird is that I think if this was your very first experience playing games, not with that level of lag, but like something like, you know, when it's running nigh on optimally, like it's the amount of lag is minimized right down, because the visuals will take a hit because the controller, the Google Stadia controller, syncs with their servers directly, not with the feed, not with the Chromecast,
which is
a good idea because to minimize to, you know, give you as much responsiveness as possible. But it means that, like, I was just wondering, like, if you're coming into this and this is your first experience playing a game and you're playing with this level of lag, would you notice it? Maybe maybe there is a casual audience.
Oh, you
for
definitely
it.
Notice.
I would say so. Yeah, you definitely like, notice. It's weird. But another thing to throw in is that the purchase system is really weird. There's no storefront. You do everything through your phone.
Yeah, what is with that?
I don't know. That's very technical.
How is that for the casual fans? Again, this is going back. It hasn't got enough of a launch lineup window to draw in the casual market.
Nope.
And then it distances them from buying certain titles by making them use their bloody phones, which I'm sure they'll probably need to have like a Google Plus account or something.
Yeah,
to use,
probably. It's just like, that's another weird thing. But even outside the fact that like to buy something, you need to go through the phone app, which maybe feels a little bit weird. It's very San Francisco tech bubble. Mm. It's like, well, I'll just do it on my phone.
Yeah.
And like, there's that. But there's also the fact that what you're buying, and they're full price, they're like $50, $60 per game.
Are you kidding?
But you're not even buying, like you're buying
I wasn't aware of that. I thought they'd be like a half price. I mean, no. The Tomb Raider game's been out since 2010.
Oh, well, yeah, the first Tomb Raider is less. I think that's $10. But Red Dead 2, Destiny 2, whatever, they're all full price. Mortal Kombat 11. But the thing that you're buying is to play it on Stadia. It's like how Amazon Prime works. It's like you're buying a digital library for that service only, and you don't really own it outside of that. And also, there's no monthly subscription model. So there's like, this thing would be a lot more palatable if it had a monthly subscription model.
Yeah, I thought when this was first announced that... The way that Microsoft were moving with their Game Pass thing, it made perfect sense. Mm-hmm. Or the PS Plus system. Mm-hmm. Just make sure that you give games per month for a fee. What's so difficult about that?
Don't know, we want money, so...
Yeah, fair play, yeah. Cool. So, £50 a title, is it?
Yeah, so like that whole thing's kind of weird, and I think that we've mentioned the games before, but it is worth compounding that even if you do buy into this, what are you really getting other than a worse version of something that you already played earlier this year or in years gone by? Because the Stadia version of something is always worse, whether visually or through lag.
So basically, we're filing down all of these different complaints into who this console is for, and this service, sorry.
Yes.
And it's basically only for people who don't have a PS4, a PC, or an Xbox.
Yeah, or a Switch or whatever.
Or a Switch. So that is a huge amount of the market.
It's for your mum.
And it's appealing to casual game fans, but it's not offering them a title, the titles in order to bring them in the first place.
Not necessarily pay for them.
I can understand that there is next to zero market for this because they've cut out all of the potential customers by saying, hey, here's the worst version of the game that you can play. And for the casual people, they're distancing them with mobile phone purchases and a lack of library.
Yeah.
So it's literally for seven people.
I don't know. And it's just like, and also the fact that it's Google. I mean, the thing that compounds all of it is that Google don't have the best track record for inventing new things and actually sticking with it. There's a great website called killedbygoogle.com that just archives every single thing that they've got rid of, from Google Hangouts to Google Plus, to YouTube gaming was a whole sort of push.
The Google Glass?
Google Glass as well.
Yeah.
Like nearly everyone can remember like one or two things that they tried to get off the ground that was the next big thing, and it lasted for like a month. And then it just didn't really work. And it's not that these ideas aren't worth chasing. Google Glass was a bit weird, because eventually they were just putting adverts in front of your eyes and charge you for your own eyeballs. Yeah. But in terms of this, the idea of like streaming is a potentially cool idea, but I think that Google fundamentally doesn't understand what people even want when it comes to how they experience video games.
I think it's a sad sight as well, because like you've got to admit that obviously Google is a monolith in the tech industry, and if they can't get something this right, it shows a complete sort of disconnection from their actual audience, which again filters back into recent stuff with YouTube with the, you know, is it Coda? Is that what they're calling it? You have to say whether or not your content is kid-friendly now. And how that's completely not our problem, but it's actually their problem because of the fact that they have been collecting information on kids without consent and stuff like that. Yeah, so Google, down the line, has not a clue how to deal with public. Like, this whole sort of Google DeepMind thing, it definitely seems the decisions of AI rather than of humans.
It might be. I mean, the amount of things that fall back on algorithmic decisions versus actual human interaction is becoming more increasingly cyberpunk by the day, which is both exciting and terrifying.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Google Stadia controller has some way of reading your own fingerprints, so it can start stealing the DNA from
it. Know if you're right-handed or left-handed.
Yeah, and it will start targeting ads on you for that.
Your response time would be if they broke into your house.
It's like, did you like Google Stadia? Then why not buy some adult diapers? It'd be like, how dare you?
This person's just trigger finger is bad.
Just because you can sense the laxatives and curry on my hand. Come on!
But yeah, either way, I think that the way that it's rolled out has been terrible, and I think that it is worthwhile passing out that this is all relating to the Founders Edition and the base, the proper version, whatever will come next year, but this is the premium one. This is the one that people paid more for. This is their opening gambit for cloud-based gaming, and it's just fell on its face.
Do they get their service redone when the base one comes out?
How do you mean by redone?
Well, as in, like, if I buy in for the Founders Edition and it's crap, and then all of the other stuff, like, when the base one comes out and it's significantly better, probably comes with a new controller and design.
It's, assumedly, it's the same. It's just that over time, assumedly, it'll get more stable. But
we have, like, no date on it.
No, well, they haven't mentioned any particular date on the base version, unless it's come out while we've been recording this. But that's just some point in 2020. I think they'll be reading all the data from this and deciding whether to even go forward with it.
Well, it's minimal
because
data.
It's weird.
Minimal data, and most of it is negative. But there we go. Those have been the immediate impressions on the Google Stadia's launch. Let me know down below whether or not you've managed to pick one of these up. Are you one of the, 5% of the people who said that they would actually
pick
it up?
Maybe you're having a blast with it.
And if so, that's a very good point. Are you enjoying it, and do you think it was a good investment? And if you haven't bought it, why? Try and answer the question of who do you think the Google Stadia is for. As always, I've been Jules. You can go follow me at RetroJ with a zero over on Twitter. You can follow Scott at
@LP89.
And we will collect all of your data. We will speak to you soon. Thank you very much, Google, for not getting rid of our channel yet. And I do mean yet in a very, very tenuous sense. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.